I invite you to take out your Bible and turn with me to Luke chapter 4. As we prepare for our scripture reading, we're starting a new series on courage called Courage, Jesus' Invitation to an Audacious Faith. Audacious faith. And courage occupies the space between prayer and our work. It is the virtue of doing what we know we need to do. And we must teach each other, we must teach our children, we must teach people to be courageous, not because they're not already courageous, rather because we must be courageous so often. Now, I want to encourage you and build your courage up so that you can follow Jesus into a life of audacious faith that loves people into a relationship with Christ. Turning here in Luke chapter 4, reading from 14, verse 14 through 21, follow along as we hear the gospel. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been raised. And on the Sabbath, he went to the synagogue as he normally did, and he stood up to read. The synagogue assistant gave him the scroll from the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the synagogue attendant, and sat down, and every eye in the synagogue was fixed on him. And he began to explain to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled just as you heard it." It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, as we meditate on these passages, give us the clarity to have enough courage of being your follower. In Jesus' name, amen. In the award-winning movie Courage Under Fire, the Army is interviewing soldiers investigating actions of a Gulf War medevac crew. Command wants to determine if someone deserves a Medal of Honor. Through the fog of war, the anxiety of inducing memories and covering injuries, through their interviews, it's not always clear exactly who was courageous, who wasn't, and what exactly happened on that day when the rescue crew stopped an enemy tank itself and then needed its own rescue. However, in the end, Captain Karen Emma Walden posthumously received the Medal of Honor. She was the face of courage. Despite the obstacles she faced, even at the cost of her own life, she had the clarity of courage to lead the rescue mission. You know, courage is an admirable quality. We hold courageous people in higher regard. We remember them in history. They become our heroes. We want to be more like them. And when we look in Scripture, we find numerous passages where God commands us to be courageous. And we read story after story of the courageous faithful. Moreover, there is more to courage than leading a group of men and women into battle. There is more to courage than fighting for someone's life. There is more to courage than what we admire in our own heroes. In fact, our daily lives are filled with a multitude of numerous courageous moments and decisions. We often overlook them. Yet courage is an essential part of our life. For example, it takes courage to care for your parents, to raise children well, to be a better friend, to help out in the community, to better yourself, to care for those in need, to serve through the church. Inasmuch, courage takes a clarity of purpose. It requires a clarity of mission. When we have clarity of purpose or clarity of mission, then it becomes easier to have the courage to make the right decision and to do the right action. And here's what I mean. Following his baptism, Jesus spent 40 days out in the wilderness, out in the desert. And there he fasted and he prayed, and there he found his clarity of purpose, the clarity of his mission. In fact, when the devil finally came to tempt Jesus, he was already prayed up. Now, I don't know what one does when they're alone out in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, but it's probably not much more than praying and fasting. But as a result, Jesus had been praying and fasting, and his purpose was clear. He was ready to go. And so the devil was just a distraction from what Jesus came to do, and Jesus wasn't going to play his game. You know, the great thing about knowing what you're about, of having that clarity of purpose and that mission of mind, is that you know what you need to do. But the great thing is also realizing what you don't need to do and what you're not going to do. And so for Jesus, the devil's temptations were not going to get in Jesus' way. When it was all said and done, Jesus traveled back to his hometown of Nazareth. And our scriptures say he returned in the power of the Spirit. That's God's Holy Spirit was upon him. The Spirit he received at his baptism wasn't just there to help him resist temptation. Now, the Spirit was his source of clarity. It was there to help him accomplish his work. And so, full of the Spirit, Jesus was on top of the world, and he was ready to take on the world. And so, on the Sabbath day, he went to church. Well, he went to synagogue. He did that just like he did every week. And this day, it was his day to read the scriptures. And he was given the scroll of Isaiah. And he reads it. And then he does what no one else was expecting. He proclaims, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled." Jesus is proclaiming his mission to preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Except the people weren't ready to hear it. They just wanted to come to church. They just wanted to reminisce about the past, and they were comfortable in their pews and singing some songs and hearing the message and feeling good about themselves. This way, no one had to do anything. No one would be transformed and nothing would change. Instead, they were shocked. They were shocked to hear that God was on the move, that God is present here and now, and that God had plans to turn the world upside down. So you know what they did next? They rebuked him. They rebuked Jesus, and they rose up in anger, and they ran Jesus out of town, and they tried to throw him off a cliff. Yet Jesus had the clarity of courage, and he passed right through them. He was on a mission, and he wasn't letting the doubters get him down. And so he passed right through them, and he went on his way. And next thing we know, Jesus is launching his ministry out of Capernaum. And I wonder if back in Nazareth, if they were afraid of what it meant to fulfill Jesus' words. I wonder if they were afraid they'd have to change their lives. And I wonder if they ever realized what they missed out on. And I wonder how it would force us to think differently about our faith or to live out our faith if we took these words of Jesus seriously. See, the audacity of a clear vision to live for Jesus means Jesus turns the world upside down by blessing the poor and the oppressed, especially through us. When Jesus announced in his normal, regular worship service that the reign of God was about to end the reign of everything else, it was a lot to take in. It was a lot to think about. They couldn't absorb it all. It was disruptive. And like most people, they would rather throw the disruption off the cliff than to have to change their life. See, the reality is that when we upset the balance of power, when we get out of our comfort zones, when we do things that change circumstances and change lives, people are going to resist. People are going to get upset. And people are going to fear the unknown. And unfortunately, fear motivates people to tear down rather than build up. But the clarity that fuels our courage, it will be seen by them as troublemaking. Yet our mission is to follow Jesus. Our purpose is to love God with everything we got and to love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. And the clarity of this comes to mind in our mission statement, to make life better and to make you better at life through Jesus Christ. Yet life doesn't get better for ourselves or for anyone else if we don't do something about it. The church doesn't get better if we don't offer our God-given gifts to help build each other up. The hungry don't get fed if we don't make the food or stuff the backpacks. The sick don't know how much we love them if we don't check on them and go see them. The poor don't break out of poverty if we don't help them take advantage of better opportunities. The uneducated don't get educated if we don't teach and mentor, tutor and coach. Maybe other places are content to let things remain the same. But not here. We're here to make life better through Jesus Christ. Am I right? See, in Acts 1, 6 through 8, Jesus says he is giving us the Holy Spirit to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. That we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is upon us, upon me, and upon you to make a real difference in this world, to make life truly better, to share the life-changing gospel that is good news of great joy for all people. And I invite you to take ownership of this. The next time you read this passage here in Luke, put your name in there. As a follower of Christ, you've been given the Spirit to do what Jesus did. So it might sound something like this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon Daniel because the Lord has anointed Daniel. He has sent Daniel to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's us. That's me. That's you. Remember how I said that some people may see this as troublemaking? Maybe that's a good thing. See, 18 months ago, civil rights leader John Lewis died, and his life mission was inspired by the work of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. King had spoken of a concept called the beloved community. This was an idea that confronted the erroneous belief that some people are more valuable than other people. And John Lewis found his clarity of courage in the nonviolent resistance of the civil rights movement and in a call to see the promised kingdom of God here on earth as it is in heaven. and an essay John Lewis wrote shortly before his death was published on the day of his funeral. And in it, Lewis wrote, "Ordinary people with extraordinary vision can redeem the soul of America by getting in what I call good trouble, necessary trouble. Though I may not be here with you, I urge you to answer the highest calling of your heart and to stand up for what you truly believe. In my life, I have done all I can to demonstrate that the way of peace, the way of love and nonviolence is the more excellent way. Now it is your turn to let freedom ring." What areas in your life do you need more clarity? Do you need to spend some time away from the busyness and the craziness to meditate and pray in order to find your clarity? See, the Spirit of God gives us clarity. And clarity of mission and purpose gives our courage the power to act. So may we embrace the Spirit that is upon us. May we act with courage, and may we even stir up some good trouble. Amen.